kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm not dead. It's low bars. It's 2021.
Low bar, yeah.
We just dance with that right now. We're like, do what you can. GG. And then you go on.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm recovered after my shot. So I think my 5G requirement is now in check. I'll have gills in 2 weeks. I think that's how it works. Yeah.
I turned into a lizard.
You're a lizard. Nice.
Yeah.
It's superpowers. Get vaccinated, kids.
Only happens on half moon, so I think something might have went wrong.
Oh, something always goes wrong because we have guests.
Yeah.
Yay. Hooray. We have three awesome people joining us today from Wide Right Interactive. We've got Jim, Mark, and Kurt. How is everybody doing?
Doing well.
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, doing great.
Jim, this is your second time on the show. First question, obviously, what the hell made you come back?
We got a new game. Whenever there's a new game, you know, gotta get on the podcast again, get on those streams.
Get on the streams. Yes, you have a new game out. It is called What the Dub. For the people who don't know what this game is and for some reason didn't listen to our last episode that had the review, give us the sales pitch. What is What the Dub?
I guess in its simplest form, What the Dub is a multiplayer party game where each player overdubs missing dialogue from hilariously awful B movies. So it's kind of one part Mystery Science Theater and one part Jackbox style party game. And it's on, we released last week on the 8th, and it's on every platform ever, thanks to Mark Zorn, who single-handedly created this game and developed it. He did all the heavy lifting. And the game's been doing great. Got some good reviews. Our player base has been quickly expanding, in some ways faster than we anticipated. But we're just hitting the ground running.
That sounds like a good thing that it's expanding quicker than you expected.
Definitely. We just released our first kind of big patch, just getting a lot of really positive comments and a lot of feedback from people, features that they want. So we're just, rolling with it, you know, making the changes, and feels good.
Nice. You said Mark did all the heavy lifting. So Mark, what was your role in this game? Tell us who exactly everything. You are. And
he did everything.
Yeah,
it's like my back hurts so bad.
Carrying you people.
Yeah, Jim needs to lose some weight. I guess it was my brainchild. It kind of stemmed from a game jam game I made many, many years ago at this point now. And during kind of lockdown, one of my game dev friends, Quasi, who made Shotgun Farmers, basically told me that this is the best game you've ever made and you need to make it a real thing because he's never had more fun playing it than any of my other games. that weekend, I prototyped it and I was like, hey, this is fun. Like, I made it a real thing again and played it with some people and Jim and Kurt, and we decided to make it a real thing. I started out not very ambitious. I was like, oh, we'll put it on Steam or itch and we'll do early access and see if people like it. And then one weekend I put it on the Switch because why not, right? I have a Switch dev kit, so I put it on the Switch, and all of a sudden now we're going full bore. We're making the whole, you know, we're doing all the consoles, we're doing Steam.
Putting it on the Switch convinced you to go everywhere.
Well, if you're going to do one, you got to do them all, right? Yeah,
that's fair.
Because why just make two builds when you could make eight, right?
It's been a week.
He's like, I don't even have a way to justify that I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I built it in the in Unity, and it uses a website that Kurt helped me build, you know, to actually play with, much like the Jackbox games. And spent a lot of time also trying to find awful movie clips to put in the game. There's over 300 clips in the game, and I had to watch many, many hours of bad movies, as did Jim.
Yeah, I took all the short, like, PSAs, and I left all the, you know, 2 hour long terrible sci-fi movies to Mark to dig through for clips. But yeah, no, this was, you know, this being my second game I've ever worked on, this was really interesting because of, as Mark talked about, the web component that Kurt managed. Because, you know, like a party style game, Jackbox style games, you have, you know, you do text entry on your phone via website or whatever browser enabled device you want to use. So it was interesting to, because that's all new to me. I've never done any kind of like web development, and just seeing the pros and cons of that side of game development was really interesting.
Yeah. How the hell does that work? Like, I've always wondered that with Jackbox games. What is the technology behind that? How does everything work behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, everything is just connecting, you know, to a central server, you know, basically opens up a connection between, you know, both the game running on your console or your computer and your in your phone or your browser, whatever you have open. And it's just passaging messages, very simple messages back and forth, you know. It's kind of like an event happened, so it's time to enter your dub. So the vote time event gets fired, and then the clients kind of pick that up and say, oh, what do I get to vote on? And, you know, that's kind of passed along. It's not that different than a lot of, you know, your website technology or your app technology. It's a little more real time. So you kind of keep these connections and streams open to pass that data around, much like any other traditional multiplayer game that you're playing real time online.
Sounds so complicated. And you make it sound so easy.
I mean, I will admit I took the lazy approach, and I'm using a service that facilitates a lot of this, because, you know, kind of my day job is building, you know, backends for websites and stuff like that. But I didn't want to deal with that. I wanted to have fun making the game and let someone else deal with passing the data around, right? So, you know, we found a software as a service company out there that helped facilitate, you know, passing that data along, so we could just focus on making the game fun.
Okay, so yeah, Mark, try and understand this. I try to, like, whenever Mark explains it, the worst part is when I have a question about it, because I don't really know the technical, like, the words to use. So it's like, hey, if the thing isn't doing the other thing, will that make the thing bad? And Mark has to kind of, like, decipher it and be like, yes, that's how it works. But
if it makes you feel any better, I built the front end of it and still don't know what he's talking about. I basically just passed up. So I'm like, here, can you make this work?
Yeah, so Kurt, so what is your position on the game? What did you do with the game?
I think we've been throwing around creative director. Essentially, all the visuals were sort of my realm. And from my standpoint, it was interesting because Mark kind of called me and was like, hey, do you mind making 6 or 7 screens for me over the next couple weekends, thinking about doing a video game? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And 3 months and God knows how many hours of video editing and just like After Effects animation later, I'm like, this kind of really blew up from 6 screens to something else. But
yeah, I mean, I have to give Kurt credit there, because I literally asked for a couple static screens, and it was just like I said, I was kind of downplaying how are we going to roll this out, right? You know, and you know, I just need a couple screens so I can put a video up and put some voting stuff and whatever. And he just came back and was like, how about this? How about we make a real game? And so he kind of forced me to reevaluate what, you know, kind of what we're doing. And when that happened, that's when I was like, oh, well, we're doing this. You know, I'm going to put on the Switch. I'm going to put on the Xbox and the PlayStation, because I had these dev kits sitting around. I might as well do it. And then, you know, many sleepless nights later, we released the game.
Is it a lot of work getting it on all the different systems? I don't know how much is involved with making this game, and I'm not sure how difficult it would be to port it between the different systems. It doesn't seem like graphically anything different would have to be done visually. Is
no,
it?
it's a, you know, 80% of the game is exactly the same everywhere. I kind of use the 80-20 rule where 20% you have to kind of tweak and adjust. It's all the, you know, things you have to do to connect online and verify, you know, your accounts and your save data and your achievements and all the stuff that are kind of platform specific is different. And believe it or not, playing videos is all slightly different on each of the consoles because it's the year 2021 and playing videos is still harder than you might imagine to play them well and figuring out the right encodings and the right, you know, bit rates and all that stuff so that everything performs well. Much different though than our last game that Jim and I did, Freedom Finger, where like I'm not worrying about physics engines and performance, and I literally,
God,
I don't have spreadsheets, 60 frames a second or not, right? This game is very lightweight in that terms, right? It's not that type of game where I have to worry about 1500 bullets being on the screen and making sure that the Switch doesn't die as a result, you know, or light on fire.
Yeah, that was such a big
opportunity. The more bullets on the screen here would have been better.
Not enough bullets. I think I read that in one of the reviews.
It was a one sentence review.
Yeah, not enough bullets.
That's the whole review. Not enough bullets. 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I think it's
my review for everything for the rest of the night.
No, it's been interesting to like Mark said. Because the game itself is so simple. It just centers around, hey, you watch a video clip and, you know, you put it in on the website and it's done. But I think, you know, to, you know, add to what Kurt said earlier, like, yeah, you could just make it simple, but then it doesn't look that great. And then, well, what if we added a few more screens? And what if you took and you started making the After Effects? So there was a little bit of that scope creep that happened. For the better, because I think the game, all the design work is, you know, fantastic. But yeah, compared to Freedom Finger, it was kind of a walk in the park, you know.
And it is such a drastically different game from Freedom Finger. It
really is.
Paul, I know you weren't the biggest fan of Freedom Finger.
I wasn't. Like, I appreciated what it was. It's just that it wasn't for me, and that's okay. That's how some games are.
But this one is more up your alley.
Yeah, this was more my speed. I streamed it a few times and played it with my buddies, and I also played it with my kids, which is its own thing. Thank goodness for the profanity filter and stuff.
Yeah, your kids are filthy.
Yeah, well, the oldest one, she's just like her mother. God bless her. Or damn her one, either one. Whichever floats his boat. But yeah, it was definitely far more at my alley. The one thing I was curious about was how you chose the video clips.
There was kind of two criteria. It's the utility of the clip. You know, does the clip, it's got to be from a bad movie. You know, we don't want any like Casablanca or anything in there. It's got to be a terrible movie that first frame, there's something going on here. And then it wasn't just like enough to find a crappy movie. You have to find a clip that has the right setup. So kind of call and a response. There's a question, there's a statement, and then an opportunity for the player to make a dub. And then once Mark went through and watched all the clips, then it was like, okay, we have 300 or so clips, or you go kind of film by film. And then we had to do all the legal clearance and make sure that we could use them because they're all in the public domain, but you know, we still had to do our homework, make sure that we're pulling from the right sources and things like that.
I was ask if they were all public domain films or if you actually like went out and bought the rights to anything.
No, we were lucky enough that we didn't have to. There are definitely like footage houses that you can get even public domain footage from just so you have the peace of mind and, you know, those services are available, but we just took the extra time and did our own clearance. And yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean that in the future we've talked about potentially licensing clips for future updates just so we have some more variety. But that's it's a whole other mountain to climb.
DLC packs.
Yeah, although like I'm less worried about licensing video clips than music, because after, again, the shell shock of licensing 40 tracks for Freedom Finger was a goddamn nightmare. So just like being able to like buy a video clip right off the shelf would be amazing. You'd not have to worry about it. And for you guys, the streamers, right? You don't get those copyright strikes.
Oh, I don't give a shit about copyright strikes.
For people who do give a shit, DMCA is a bitch.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any yet, so bring it.
Not enough people watch us for it to be an issue.
Thank God. Like,
you could have more people sitting in your living room, even under COVID restrictions.
I think we have more people on the show than watching the show. So,
I don't know. I got a feeling this is going great. This might be the one where you guys blow up.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. It's on you guys. It really is. It's not my fault anymore. It's just, it's totally up to the guests at this point.
We're literally phoning it in.
Oh, man. So, Cole, what kind of questions do you have about the game?
You asked mine about the DLC, bastard. Now I'm mad.
Do you guys have any dream movies that you would love to have in the game that you could just rip apart?
If it were me, it would be an all Paul Blart Mall Cop expansion.
Yes.
That's what the world needs, in my opinion.
I've actually never seen that movie.
What the Blart?
Blart the Dub.
Yeah, Blart the Dub.
Blart the Dub.
I love horror. I'm a big fan of, like, you know, 80s and even, like, early 90s horror films. So, you know, any kind of, like, late night or midnight movie would be awesome to have in there.
I say, like, the whole Puppet Master series, that's right for the game.
Yeah.
Any of those. Yeah, I used to watch a lot of really bad 90s movies, 90s horror movies.
I mean, if we're talking a dream scenario, video clips from video games would be the ideal. You know, like, you think about, like, early, like, PS1 era games where it's just like the terrible voiceovers, or
hit up, like, Capcom, see if you could get some of that original Resident Evil footage.
Yeah. Like, give me that Jill sandwich, you know, like, I want to put that in there. Like, that would be amazing, but there's just obviously no way that that would happen.
Dark Mika in chat is asking if you guys are going to look into getting cartoon clips in there.
Yes. That's been, I think, the number one when it comes to content. People obviously want more clips, but anime has been our number one requested genre. So, yeah, it's something we're definitely exploring. And, you know, it's kind of a balancing act. We obviously want to provide people with tons of content, which we think, you know, right out of the box, like 300 clips, if you're playing the average 5-round game, that'll get you about 60 or so rounds before you even see one repeat clip. So that feels, for $7 or $8, that feels like a pretty good deal. Obviously we want to offer more value, and the people want anime. So we're trying to find a way to do that that wouldn't, like, affect the cost of the game or the cost to us. But yeah, it's on the list.
Oh, Dark Mika is saying, not anime, but actual cartoons like Street Sharks and Biker Mice from Mars. Just old 80s, 90s cartoons that no one remembers.
I mean, yeah, those would be great. Ultimately, it comes down to who owns them, if they want to license them, how much they want to license them for. You know?
I would love to listen to you guys after a couple hours of watching royalty-free cartoons.
How does it feel watching that much footage, just looking for that special 10-second clip?
So some movies are great and they have a lot of setups and whatnot, but I was never more frustrated when I was over an hour into a movie and hadn't found a single clip worth saving. And I'm just sitting here going, what am I doing with my life? Why did I decide to make this game? And I would rage, and Kurt and Jim would feel my wrath via the keyboard in our chat. We're like, oh, I can't even remember. I've stricken them from my memory, but I watched some really bad movies. And unfortunately, they just didn't have like the setups, you know, that we needed for the game. It's not one thing just for them to be bad, but the dialogue has to work. So unfortunately, yeah, there was a lot of wasted time on some of that, on some of those movies.
I should take this time to apologize to you guys for never watching a single movie clip. No one ever asked me, so I just never did.
Oh, seriously, beautiful. Yeah, I went for the low-hanging fruit. I'm like, okay, here's a 1950s PSA about puberty. This is a goddamn gold mine. You know, like, I'm going to be able to get at least 10 clips out of this. And what else? Yeah, once you start getting into, there was like a bunch of the kind of like industrial films, like, show you the wonders of alfalfa farming, you know, and you're just like, all right. Maybe a clip out of that, but hey, you know, you learn something in the process, so win-win, I guess.
How many total movies or shorts are in the game? Because I know we mentioned this in the review that there are repeat clips from movies. Like you won't see the same clip, but you'll see the same characters.
Yeah,
come back. So, how many clips are from the same movie? How many different movies were involved in the game?
There's over 30, I believe, different sources in this current version. Some have, you know, two or three clips. Some have, you know, 10 or more. Really came down to just what, you know.
How juicy the film was.
Yeah. And obviously, we didn't want to just do 100 clips from one source, right? We do want variety, and we have plans to add more in the future. But yeah.
Do you have a favorite out of what's in the game?
A favorite clip or movie?
Favorite movie or PSA or anything.
I mean, the only movie I would even call watchable in the game is Night of the Living Dead. And so we have some clips from that. There is I believe it was a Manners PSA with Chalky, the animated character. That became kind of our favorite, though. All hail Chalky. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
Yeah, I don't think Chalky. I've seen that one either.
It's like this kid, he gets to stay after class because I think he's been bad. And there's like this little stick figure called Chalky who like materializes on the blackboard of the classroom. And he's like, I'm going to teach about manners. And then it's just so creepy. Like the vibe to it, like if you scored it with some like slightly terrifying or suspenseful music, it would just turn into something completely different.
There's some very of the time PSAs too, like Cindy goes to a party where, you know, tomboy Cindy wasn't invited to go to Mary's party and how she has to act to get invited and have friends, you know, has to wear a dress and have courteous and have manners. And it's just, wow, that would not fly today. You know?
Yeah. Horrors of social conformity and gender roles, you know, it's just like, it's some of those, like, what was the other one? The classic, I don't think we used any Duck and Cover.
There's one from Duck and Cover in there.
Yeah. Where it's just like, hey, if this bomb, this gigantic atomic bomb goes off, just lay on the ground and it's all going to be like, I'm starting to get to the sense that people didn't know what the hell they were talking about back in the 50s.
Not at all.
I don't know. We had a nuclear power plant in our town, and we were basically told if it ever got attacked or anything, just kiss our ass goodbye. There's like, we've got no hope.
That was the official motto. Just kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah, you have no hope. Peace. Oh my Lord. So many crazy, weird movies in this game. How do you possibly find more? Like, what sources do you go to find these? Are there certain like movie banks, or do you just browse public domain? I don't know where you would look for these.
There's you probably are familiar with the site archive.org, and one of, you know, you can view old websites, and it's just a huge database of a lot of publicly available art and news and things like that. But there's a section, it's kind of a semi-curated library of films and modern and older stuff called the Prelinger Archives. And that was like the starting point is, you know, you can go in there, you can find an old film and, you know, with some degree of confidence, depending on how old the film is, you would know like, okay, chances are this is going to be in the public domain. But just going through there, it's, there's a lot to find because like, Mark, don't they have like old, like stag films too from like the 30s? Oh, wow. They just have everything. They just archive, I believe, they're based out of San Francisco and they would just take any kind of 16 or 8mm film that they could find and they would archive it. So there's just gigs upon gigs of the weirdest stuff you've ever seen in there. And some of that stuff's in the public domain and that's kind of our sweet spot.
How do you research if it's in the public domain? Does it say whether it is, or do you have to like do the research yourself? There are certain year cutoff.
Yeah. You can't really trust anything that you read on the internet because, you know, you could find like clips of, I don't know, Star Wars on YouTube. And it's like, this is in the Creative Commons. And you're like, no, it's not. Can't use this. Yeah. It's basically checking, you know, you can search, you can see if a copyright was renewed. You can see if there's other sources, if there's like the public, the footage houses that license this footage, if they're offering it, chances are that's a good, you know, indicator that this is actually public domain. And you can also check with them. I did that for a few films. There was one house that was kind enough to do a clearance check for us. So yeah, it's a little, you gotta definitely have to do your homework. And then there's also just, you know, is this the creator of Chalky from 1957 going to find us and sue us? And what are the chances?
I'd be more worried if the creator of Chalky might find you and hide your bodies in the basement of his house, given what he created with Chalky.
Yeah. No, he's actually not violent. He's just incredibly litigious, you know? So it's just going to, he will drag your ass to court and sue you for everything you have.
If I could pick a way to go, that would be it.
He was sued to death by Chalky.
Yeah. right on the head,
though. Oh, my Lord. Cole, any other questions from you? I'm trying to get you more involved in this. You keep muting.
The
hell are you doing over there?
I have a cough.
Oh, come on.
So I've just been, like, I'm sucking down cough drops, and I have a really bad habit of, I bite them. And then I'm afraid the mic will pick up the crunching on them. And I'm like, so I just keep muting so you guys can't hear me biting on my cough drops. And I apologize.
But so proud of you.
Yeah, it's the pollen's getting to me, honestly. Shit, now I forgot what I was going to ask, too. Are there any...
Do you guys have allergies?
I dropped my cough drop.
I haven't left the house in a year, so...
I live in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing but pollen and destruction from the ice storm from a couple months ago. Are there any movies or other types of media that you guys are just kind of like watching and hoping goes into the public domain soon so that you could just snap it up for the game? Anything particular you've got your eye on?
I feel like with the way things are going, that's just never going to happen because they just keep extending the copyright. And we
keep renewing that copyright on Mickey Mouse. Those bastards.
I know. There's a certain company that we won't get into that keeps on buying all the media companies and extending the copyright. So that is never apparently going to happen.
That said, you could have fun with Steamboat Willie any day now.
Has anyone here recently watched Steamboat Willie? Because I got Disney Plus, my son's 2, and I'm like, well, I can show him all the classics. And Steamboat Willie is so over the top ridiculous. Like, Mickey Mouse is just a complete like jerk the entire time. He's like kind of like abusing these animals. He's running around. He uses like a cat, like a guitar. There's like this nursing sow. He like rips all the piglets off of her and then plays her teats like a piano. And it's just like, I'm like, oh my God, Mickey's a maniac. He's just, it's the entire cartoon is him running around the ship playing animals like they're musical instruments, and everybody just seems totally pissed off. Like, no one is excited that he's there.
The only part people remember is him on the boat pulling the horn. Yeah. That's all people remember. They don't remember anything else of that cartoon. It sounds horrific, by the way.
Yeah, oh, it's brutal. I was like, what the? I didn't remember that at all. Because, yeah, that there's that iconic image that they use, and then there's a reason why their logo isn't Mickey, you know, playing a crow like an accordion, you know, like there's.
Oh, yeah, he's playing a bull's teeth like a xylophone and cranking a goat's tail.
Yeah.
That's the DLC we need.
Yeah. I feel like we're missing out here. Holy shit.
Oh, man. So the game has been out for about a week now. How has the reception been? How have the reviews been? What's word around the street been? How's it going?
I feel like
so far. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we've been getting, like I mentioned, I think, you know, Freedom Finger, mostly due in part to all the hard work that Mark put in to the code and all the testing we did. We didn't have many people kind of like chiming in with bugs. We didn't have a lot of tech support. And this time around, it's not even so much bugs, but it's just features. You know, people want more of this, more of that. They want to be able to kind of customize it, especially streamers. You know, adding like Twitch login or being able to turn off the audience so they can just play with their friends, little things like that, kind of quality of life updates. That's been the, like, I think the coolest part about it is just how vocal the players have been, which, you know, like we got overwhelmingly, like a lot of positive reviews on Freedom Finger, but to hear this much like feedback from the players is, I don't know, it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I know you guys had a patch go out pretty quickly that had, I'm looking at the notes now, it had the ability to kick in active audience members, the Twitch login, the sound effects, the negative announcer that Cole brought up.
Yeah, I turned that off when I played with the kids. I don't need to be damaging their self-esteem unless I'm going to do it myself.
Gotta have that.
The sound effects. I don't know. Maybe Mark can talk about this. It was a pretty late addition. Was that Mark? Was that who came up with that idea? Whose suggestion was
that? That was just like, I don't know. How one day I just like, what if you typed Wilhelm scream? It should do the Wilhelm scream as a little Easter egg, right? And so then I showed it to the guys, and I'm like, so that's pretty neat, right? And I'm like, should this be a feature? Should this be a thing we actually do? And then we just started, you know, finding ridiculous sound effects to add in and made it easier to do by, you know, having a little menu that pops up where you can select them from. And I think that has been the smartest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
It's so. A pretty awesome addition to the Jackbox formula to have these sound clips play. They've really changed some of the answers that I've seen in the games that I've played.
Sometimes just a well-placed sound effect can make a joke that otherwise would have just fell flat.
You know, the way that I've seen some people on these Twitch streams use them too is pretty inventive, I will say.
Yeah, you can have someone say, let's play Hide the Fingers, and that's one thing. But you say, let's play Hide the Fingers, and then a fart sound effect. Mwah.
Comedy gold.
Beauty.
Yeah, that boing sound effect gets a lot of use, let me tell you.
I haven't seen all the sound effects used. Like, is there a way to preview them before you pick them in your browser? Is there a way to preview the sound effect?
No, right now there isn't. You know, it's something I've kind of written down as something to look into, but also, I don't know, kind of the fun of just going for it. You know, you're going to learn what
happens
pretty quickly, you know.
I yeah, expect more sound effects are coming.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Anything you can let us in on, any sound effects that might be coming our way in a future update?
More farts.
I will say, for the prevalence of the fart being used that I've seen, I'm glad we have at least a couple that it randomly picks from.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we might need to upgrade our fart sound library, really get into some deep cuts, you know, because I feel like we get like four and it's just not enough for people.
My favorite sound effect is always in when you're watching a horror movie, some, and it'll say squelch in the subtitles. So if I can put in a special request, we need squelching.
Are dolphin sound effects in the game?
Oh yeah, we need the dolphins.
We need the dolphin.
I was making that was too.
That was pretty good.
Don't do that.
I broke call. Yes.
I hope Blaine's still watching. Boy, I hope I don't have to explain that joke. Yeah, the splash was helpful, but actual dolphin sound effects would go a long way too. Oh, god damn it.
It's on the list. Put it up. We got farts, squelch, dolphin.
Yeah, something I think we mentioned looking for a while ago that I think would be good is kind of like the Peanuts parents, like trumpet, trombone, whatever.
We don't have a slide whistle either. Do we?
Do we not? I'm surprised by that.
Is that one of the player sound effects? There is a handful of sound effects that kind of go when a player, you know, you get a sound effect. So when you vote and whatnot, it plays a sound effect. I don't remember if we had a slide whistle in there or not.
I think it might be. For some reason, I just flashbacks to editing all the audio clips.
I remember
spending a weird amount of time listening to a slide whistle.
Yeah.
Gotta take a quick second. Holy shit. One and only Steph just came in and dropped 5 gift subs in the chat.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear Purnell yelling fucking yeah for the next minute or so. But Steph, thank you so much for coming in and dropping those subs. Very much appreciated. Hugs and kisses your way. Thank you so much. That is very
fucking
awesome.
Fucking yeah.
Fucking yeah.
Fucking yeah. Oh, man. Now I lost my train of thought.
We didn't have a train. It was already, like, way off the tracks.
Yeah, we're long gone. What were we talking about? Drugs?
Yeah!
Welching.
Dolphins.
Dolphin sex. That's right. No, wait. No, sound effects. That's what you said, Cole. Dolphin sound effects, not dolphin sex.
Yeah. Close enough.
Big difference.
Fucking yeah!
Oh, I'm going to end up having to explain this joke, and I don't like it.
I think you should.
No, what? I don't think we should.
Okay. How did COVID affect the development on the game?
I think Mark, not to answer for you, but I think in part Mark's downtime kind of fueled his fire to actually get moving on the game. From my standpoint, it's been interesting because I've never met Jim. I've always seen him from the waist up, so I can't confirm if Jim has legs or not.
You decide.
Yeah, I mean, we did Freedom Finger largely remote, so that's kind of, you know, we were already used to that. And yeah, as Kurt's saying, it probably wouldn't have happened had I not been stuck at home, honestly. You know, I couldn't go do the things I might normally have done in my free time. So I made another game.
Hey, at least you did something productive. I mean, what the fuck have I done over the past year? I gained weight. That's all I did.
Hey, man, just surviving the last year is more than enough as far as I'm concerned.
Very true. Any of you guys get your vaccines already?
I'm half vaxxed. It's 2 weeks for the second shot. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Then you get to turn. Well, it depends. Which shot did you get? Because you might be like Joe and you might be fine, or you might be like me and turn into a lizard person on Half Moons.
I got the Moderna, so.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Lizard Land.
I went with the Johnson & Johnson because they were like, it doesn't have as bad as side effects. And I'm like, oh, great. And it's only one shot. And the next day was legitimately the most sick I've ever been in my entire life.
Jeez.
Rip. You don't even get to, like, turn into a lizard. You just turn into a bottle of No More Tears baby shampoo.
This has to be
publicity
for shampoo.
Our show is stupid. Oh my god. So we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything about the game you guys wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up or we're too dumb to mention?
We're still on sale. We're doing, we got that launch discount going. So if anyone's on the fence, and you want to save 70 cents, go buy yourself a gumball with that savings and get, now's the time to do it. I think, if you're into party games and you're looking for something that is a quick pick up and play, obviously you're playing on PC, doing screen sharing and playing with remote players is incredibly easy. I think we might just be your game. So yeah.
And you can't beat the price. It is such a fucking affordable game for what's there. There is so much game, so much content, and it's only $8. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean you want it to be a no-brainer that if you stumble upon it and you're like, yo, this is gonna be fun for a game night. Like, let's just tee it up, let's buy it and let's play it, it's people have brought up like, well, you're going to add more game modes. I'm like, well, it's an $8 game. I think it does what it needs to do, And if we added more game modes or we spend another year on it, we'd have to make it more expensive to make it worth that time. And, we decided we wanted to do that one thing and do it, we think pretty well and, see what the community does with it and improve on it over time.
Nice. Well, sell it to us. Where is it available? How much is it? Where can people keep up to date with you guys and what you're doing? Give us all the information.
What the Dub is available on all consoles and Steam. It's out now. And if you want to keep up with the game, we're at Wide Right Games on pretty much every platform. But to get the most, bang out of your buck, I would follow Mark at Mark Makes Games on TikTok as well. Mark, he's really good at social media. I'm just like, I'm doing the basic stuff, but Mark's always doing giveaways and he's got a lot of fun stuff going on there. And he shows a lot of the making of the behind the scenes. Ooh. So if that's interesting for you, I would, get on that start TikToking.
Yeah. So, I do kind of post questions and part of the game design process and game dev process as I'm working on games. Also, a pretty small at this point, but ever growing community on the What the Dub Discord. So if you're looking for people to play with or you have ideas or suggestions, I would hop in there. That is the kind of games website is playwtd.com. If you go to /Discord, that'll pop you in the Discord. So
nice. Cole, any other questions on your end?
Nope. I just want the squelch sound now. I've put in my request. And I hope that there's updates. I'd love to see some additional clips and stuff added in because I've had a good time with it.
I feel like this game is built for DLC.
Yep.
Is that something you guys are planning?
Oh, well, Mark's got to just clear his schedule and start digging into those clips and then we'll be ready to go.
I need to take a nap before that happens. I'll tell you that.
What if we just go full movie mode? It's an hour movie, and then you type a small novel and it reads it back.
I did actually say during my review, I thought it would be cool if there was a mode where you just had like a couple of clips that could be pieced together to make a cohesive story, and you had to put in a line every other couple of sentences.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that a little bit, or even just get a longer clip where like each person fills in a line of dialogue or even just a couple words and just kind of do it Mad Lib style. But, all stuff maybe for a future update. But yeah.
We'll see that in a future update with the squelch.
Of course. We're getting to work right now.
What did I say?
You got time to chill until you get the rest of your lizard vaccine anyway, so what else you gonna do?
Well, I have a day job, unfortunately, that does get in the way of this as well. Yeah, so.
Gross.
Sadly, game dev is not the full-time job yet, but who knows, maybe it will be.
Well, you said this game's doing pretty well, so hopefully this will be the launch into full-time game development.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the dream, right? You know, I would love to be able to do this full time. Life being such that it is, not able to do that quite yet, but hopefully, yeah.
Well, when you are able, come back on and chat with us again. It's been awesome having the three of you on. Do any of you have any final topics that you want to discuss before we let you go? I don't want to take up all your night.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, nothing jumping out of my head.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a fun chat. It's been fun having you on. Jim, you know the drill. Anytime you want to come back, hit me up. Same with you two guys. It's been a pleasure having you on, chatting, and yeah, the game is awesome. I fucking love the game. It is such a good time. It is so affordable, and it is funny. It is just a awesome game night game.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that. It's great to hear that you guys are into this, and yeah, we'll keep you posted on any updates and you know, the DLC and things like that as we start rolling it out.
Awesome. Yeah. I look forward to updates in my email inbox.
Yeah. We'll have them. I'm awesome. Just, you know, second doing that, you know, we make these games for the community and for the people. And it's been the support and the people popping into Discord saying, hey, we played this game last night and it was amazing. You know, just that's what makes it worthwhile. So I'd love to hear it.
Smiling faces.
Yes.
Do it for the kids.
It makes all the long nights and the pain of console porting worth it. Maybe.
Anger 312 said that you sold one.
Yes.
All right.
I can quit my job now.
There you go.
This hour wasn't completely worthless.
We're one copy away. Call your boss. It's over. I'm out.
Yes, this hour wasn't a complete waste. It was just mostly a waste. But it has been absolutely awesome having you guys on chatting with us. We're going to let you get going. We have more show that we have to take care of. Does anyone have any final words before we let you go?
No.
Peace and love.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Take it easy. Right. Thank you.
Later, guys.
Bye. See you, guys.
That was fun. That was really fun.
That was fun. Yeah.
Good stuff. And only $8. So if you haven't picked up What the Dub yet, don't wait. It's on fucking everything and it's only $8. So go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks to Jim, Mark, and Kurt for coming on and chatting with us. That was good stuff. But we have more show, news, reviews. You ready to get into this stuff?
I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
All right. Let's dive into news. The current rumor suggests that Sony is doing a remake for The Last of Us.
Again. Right? Wasn't there already a remake of the first one?
Well, it was a remaster. It released on PS3, then they remastered it for PS4, and now there's talk of a remake for PS5. And I'm sorry, that just smells like desperation.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why do they need to remake The Last of Us already?
Because they want the money.
I mean, how much better can it look? It looked amazing.
They want the money. Yeah. They don't care what it looks like. They want the money. Yeah.
And then there's talk that Days Gone 2 was shelved as well.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know all the rumors going around with Sony, but it's like Bend Studios was supposed to be used as like a support studio for Naughty Dog or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
It just seems weird that they're going to remake The Last of Us already.
I forgot that Days Gone was even getting a 2. I feel like I only just found out there was going to be a Days Gone 2. And I was like, but people didn't like the first one. And then people were like, the first one was fine. I was like, but everybody told me they didn't like it. So now I'm extra confused. I got all kinds of yelled at when I was like, Days Gone wasn't good, though. And I was like, I don't know anymore. I mean,
it was okay. And it sold well enough. I don't know. I guess it just didn't do good. I think Sony is getting into a rut where they're just focusing on single-player exclusive stories, mm-hmm. and they're ignoring everything else. And I think it's going to bite them in the ass soon. I think people are just going to get tired of them doing the same thing. People made fun of Xbox for, they're just Gears, Halo, and Forza shooting and driving. And now it's like, well, what's Sony? They're just action adventure game.
I don't know. I'm gonna take heat because people are gonna be like, of course you're you have that opinion. You only like Xbox. But I would say that Sony has done a far worse job of painting themselves into a corner, because at least Xbox's exclusives are a variety of types of games. Nobody has to like one specific genre to find an Xbox exclusive that they're going to enjoy. Not the case for Sony. If you don't like those narrative adventure linear type stories, get fucked.
I mean, they do have different games as well. Like Astro's Playroom, the built-in game on the PS5, might be one of the best platformers I've ever played. That game is legit awesome, and it's a free pack-in. It is probably one of the best games on the PS5 right now.
But that's not the one that, like, people don't buy it for that.
Yeah, true, but still.
Like, when you see a news article about Sony exclusives, it's not going to have Astro's Playroom on it. And maybe it should, but, I mean, again, that's the box they've painted themselves into. That's what people expect, or those God of War type of games.
Anyway, the latest update for the PS5 finally allows you to back up games on PS5 games onto an external USB drive. It also adds cross-generation share play, where you're able to allow a friend of yours to play the game you're playing, which I think is an awesome feature. Xbox needs to get with that ASAP. They have adjustable player volumes and parties and other quality of life improvements. It looks like Sony is doing some stuff with the PS5, at least. It's good that you can finally back up games onto a hard drive.
Yeah. Isn't there, the internal SSD expansion, and you still can't technically use it yet?
Yeah, not yet.
Is that what it is?
Not yet.
That's weird. That's a weird, weird issue right there.
Yeah. Carnage bringing up Time Splitters 2, Hidden in Homefront 2, or was it Homefront 2? Homefront Revolution.
Yeah, that's Homefront 2.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was another one. But the whole game of Time Splitters 2 remastered is hidden in Homefront.
Yeah.
Did you see that story?
Takes a couple hours to get to it, but yeah, it's there.
And then some cheat codes that you got to put in to unlock the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it seems, unfortunately, like you have to put the cheat codes in every time.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're out there. The internet does what the internet does. I think it is nice that you can play Time Splitters full on 4K. Go for it that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of old games, the Blizzard Arcade Collection got a free update. Did you see that?
No.
The Lost Vikings 2 and RPM Racing were added free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So now it is a 5-game collection for the same price.
Not bad at all.
That is pretty badass. That is cool that they did a free update like that. They could have sold them for $5 each and I would have bought them.
Yeah.
But they just updated it free. So thank you. Good stuff, Activision. Every now and then you do something good. WWE 2K22 was officially announced during WrestleMania 37. It looked okay, but WWE is on my shit list because they released Samoa Joe. So fuck you, Vince. Yeah, but how do you release Samoa Joe? Where's Tim? I need Tim on for this.
You do. I checked it. I heard you say WWE and my brain switched off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
A blue Switch Lite is coming July 5th.
It's kind of like, it's a good blue and a bad purple. It's an odd color.
It looks very similar to the original Game Boy Advance blue.
Yeah. I think that was the point of it, but it's an odd color.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't decide it. You know, like, Sanic. It's like they didn't have the proper crayon, so they just was like, this is close enough.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Oh, well, final bit of news I have is Call of the Sea is finally making the jump to PS4 and PS5 in May.
Yeah, I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
So that's the news I got. Any news on your end?
No.
Nothing? You just want to dive into reviews? Speedrun this bitch?
Yeah, my jaw just cracked, but yeah. I said no, and my jaw was like, okay, pop.
No. my jaw hurts.
Holy shit. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, so we're just diving into reviews then?
Yeah, do it.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Rain on Your Parade, developed and published by Unbound Creations, released April 15th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Travel the world as a cute cardboard cloud and ruin everyone's day. Unlock new methods of mischief across 50 levels, each with unique settings and objectives. Make new friends and help them too. It's adorable. Oh, I know you were raving about this on the last episode. Now is your turn to rave about Rain on Your Parade. So give it to us. Tell us about Rain on Your Parade.
Stop making me sit here and wait in my excitement. I love Rain on
Your Parade. Yes, Rain on Your Parade. You've been excited about this one. If people want to hear more about Cole's excitement, they could check out the last episode, 669. Okay, tell us about Rain on Your Parade.
I absolutely love this game. There's a little bit of an oddity in the visual style because a lot of the world is kind of that 3D voxel art, but you actually play as a little cardboard cutout cloud named Cloudy, as he is wont to be. Cloudy wants to go to Seattle because he's a cloud and it rains all the time in Seattle. And so the whole point is you are trying to guide him through all these different scenarios where he just rains on fucking everything. But that's not the best part because rain is not his only specialty. As you progress through the different scenarios, by the way, there's like 50 fucking levels. These people were just over the top. As you're progressing through the different scenarios, you can also learn to snow and thunder and tornadoes. And sometimes you can pick up other fluids because, you know, clouds suck up the moisture in the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the moisture in the air is like acid. And so, like, you can corrode and explode vehicles. Or, tiny, tiny little spoiler here, sometimes you can raise the dead. It's incredible.
Raising the dead.
With your little happy cloud.
My God.
I was sucking up toxic waste and raining it down over a cemetery and raising up an army of the undead. And then they follow your little cloud all over the level and you like strike the SWAT teams with lightning so they can't shoot your zombies and you save them.
My God.
So incredible. There's one level where you do nothing but soak up different paint colors and you can paint pictures. There's just a big old tarp in the button. Some of the levels, there's no fail states or anything. They're just, you just do what you want and just relish in the ridiculousness of it. It's like if Untitled Goose Game didn't scratch any of the ideas from their list of like every bit of chaos and weirdness you can imagine. They were like, no, we're totally putting that into everything. There's one level where you have to follow the meteorologist and you have to rain on him the whole way. And he'll like try to get under umbrellas and you just strike him with lightning and he's just stuck walking in the rain and everybody else is dry, but you gotta get that meteorologist wet.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so good. There are so many different scenarios. There are a couple of boss levels. The boss levels, the achievements tied to them, the achievements for the game overall are weirdly fucking hard. There are like hidden cloud fans throughout the levels who are holding little signs that say, I love cloud. And like, you need to wet every single one of them in the game to get an achievement.
Wow.
There's a lot. There are some levels where you have to be stealthy and like manage to, how do I describe it? There's like people with, flashlights and they're like guarding and you've got to get all the way through the level without alerting any of the guards and then suck up oil and drop it everywhere. Again, don't alert the guards, though. You got to be stealthy. You got to spill the oil and then strike it with lightning to set the whole place on fire. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I love every bit of it. I don't think there's a level yet other than the boss levels where I've just been like, this is too hard. But they've all been so over the top ridiculous and fun that even when I have hit a snag where it's been a little tougher, I've wanted to try it again. Now, as far as actually getting all the achievements and stuff, fuck that. At least they give you one in the very beginning for starting the game because it's like pity achievement, right?
Is it a one-pointer or something evil like that?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember exactly, but I don't think it was a one. Okay. But it is just full on for just starting the game. But they're kind of like, you're on the board. It's even starting the game just says, press any button. And then in parentheses under it, it says, or don't. It's up to you. like the whole game just is it wears its heart on its sleeve, but it lost its shirt. You know, it's just ridiculous in every kind of way. Each level will have a set of goals you need to accomplish to get stars. Some levels only have one star. Some levels have five stars. Some don't have any, and you just got to get a time, and you can replay it for a better time. It the whole actual like scoring system of progressing through it's a little odd. And you just kind of get used to it. The only thing that does particularly set wrong with me is that there are hidden items and tasks that you can do. And sometimes, unless you do a task enough, it will never pop up and be like, oh, hey, you can also do this task. However, the game's incredibly forgiving. If you have one major task, as soon as you do that one completion state task, right? There's an exit and you can leave and be done with it. Not have to worry about any of the others if you don't want to. I will say, though, if you fuck up that primary task, you're getting booed. The fail state brings up screen and it's like, here's what you did. Here's what you didn't do. Try over, retry or end. And in the background, they go boo if you fail. but if you succeed, then they're like, yay, and clap, and then goes on to the next one. You can customize Cloudy. It's incredible. You can choose what color they are. You can choose their hat. It's fantastic. I just, it's so ridiculous and over the top, and I had so much fun. I think I could sit here and talk to you for 2 hours just about Rain on Your Parade.
Probably, but we do have other stuff to talk about. So $15 on Rain on Your Parade, what do you think about it?
I think it's easily a buy it. I mean, there's, like I said, there's 50 plus levels or something like that. So, and some of them you could easily replay several times and find new things every time. So, I mean, there's definitely the content for it. If you're a little questionable on it, then shit, it's on Game Pass. At least download it and try it. But I do think it justifies a buy it.
Cool. All right, next up is Forgotten Fields, developed by Frostwood Interactive, published by Dino Digital, released April 14th on Steam for $12.99. Go on a nostalgic road trip in Forgotten Fields, a game about a struggling author who travels back to his childhood home one last time before it's sold off. Visit old friends, relive memories, and experience bursts of inspiration in this warm game about the passage of time. Cole, this sounds like a Cole game.
Yeah, pretty much. I will say, it has a low poly aesthetic, so you've already kind of got to be like willing to tolerate that. I have hit or miss feelings on low poly. Sometimes it's done better than others. I think it's done fairly well in Forgotten Fields. I will say though, the faces are a little odd because they are supposed to be low poly, and usually in those low poly games, they just full on don't fuck with giving any facial expressions at all. But for Forgotten Fields, they just have like two dots for an for eyes, and you're like, why do you even bother at that point? Just do the faceless thing like everybody else does. it's a little frustrating. But the cameras pan all over the place. In some places they're top down, in some places they're isometric, in some places it's first person. So I'd like to say it doesn't always matter that the faces are a little odd because you never always going to be able to see it. It's just like sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You never know. It's just whatever the camera decides to do for the sequence. The game is supposed to be just kind of like charming and nostalgia riddled. I don't know where the fuck it takes place. It's one of those places like it seems like it could be a real neighborhood somewhere, but it sure shit ain't here. Granted, I live in the middle of nowhere, so nothing is here. So maybe that's why it feels a little more odd to me. The characters, I'd like to say the characters kind of resonated with me in some way, but I did feel like they were a little bland. And the game as a whole is just kind of supposed to be this slow narrative slice of life. So it's a little hard to like really soak up and be like, I'm rooting for this character. You're like, okay, dude, you feed that cow some sausage and get your aunt's clothing back that blew away in the wind. Because that's about the extent of the gameplay. There are occasionally small little puzzles that'll come up. I know I saw your face over the feed the cow the sausage thing. I did the same thing. Even the character is like, why are you eating a sausage in that cannibalism? it's an odd moment when that happens. But you get your aunt's clothing back, and that's important, I guess. She probably should have used some nail clips. Clothing pins would have been a good idea. Just saying. I don't judge how you hang your laundry, but if you don't want to go save it from the cow, maybe put some pins on it.
Life lessons here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, again, slice of life type of narrative. It's just a slow, meandering kind of story. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's only a couple hours long. But it's the hardest thing for me is being like, oh, these characters really set with me. Because I was just kind of like, I feel like I'm just a fly on the wall in somebody's life for a day. Which is neither good nor bad. It was just very mundane. Yeah.
Well, as it stands for $12.99, what do you think of Forgotten Fields?
I think there's probably better people to attach to this story than me. And that's okay. That happens. I do think, you know, the art's there. The narrative is fine. Gameplay's a little off. I did have some issues with one particular puzzle. Not even a puzzle. It's like a mini game where you're throwing rocks. So some of the movement is kind of clunky. But otherwise, I think it justifies a try it. It's just that it's kind of niche and not going to be for everybody.
All right. Well, next game is called Internet Court, developed and published by, a Rock Studios.
Knowing what this game is too, it's just, I don't, hold on.
Released April 6th on Steam for $6.99, a live-action comedic courtroom thriller where you are the prosecution, defense, and the judge. Cole, tell us about Internet Court.
So apparently, the court of internet opinions is playing out over a pseudo-Zoom, and this game is an FMV collaboration of some people putting on some ill-fitting suits or robes and VR goggles and pretending to have court over things that matter on the internet, I guess. Your first case that you'll take on will have you playing as Super Lawyer 64. Who is basically just a dude who has had his own logo put on a t-shirt. And he is defending his mother, who has been unfriended on some social media app from her best friend. Air quotes on best friend, I guess, if she unfriended her. The best friend is being... I know this sounds weird. I can see your face.
No, I'm laughing at the fact that you said just some guy who put his logo on his shirt and I'm sitting here wearing my SML shirt.
I know I did that on purpose. But his logo was his face.
That's what we should do for a new logo.
No, nobody my sees my face. It's gonna be your face, not gonna be my face. oof. I'll do a drawing of your face.
Anyway,
and then I'll put SML Podcast 64 on it, like Super Lawyer 64.
That shirt will be available in a few weeks.
So it's an odd series of concepts, right? So you have your defense lawyer who is good, always wins, and she is literally just sitting in her closet with her laundry behind her. At least it's hung up. Kudos to her. She's doing better than I am in this pandemic. But she's just sitting in her closet staring at her laptop. The judge is Judge Doodles. And he's legit stretched out on his bed in a Buffalo check robe with a cup of coffee and red earbuds. And he just kind of does not give a fuck about anything that's happening in front of him. So the gameplay will carry out where you will be presented with bits of evidence. So, for example, for the first case, it will be like there will be little screenshots of the timelines. Like, I want to call it Facebook. It's not technically Facebook, but the timeline. And then, for example, Good Always Wins will have deleted out some of the comments on the timeline to try to make her client look better, right? Then you'll have to decide as Super Lawyer, are you going to argue that extra information that could have been there would justify whether or not the friendship was removed? And then decide how that changes the case. So there are a couple of different scenarios. Another one has you going through internet court judge training as Judge Doodles, and you'll have to decide another case of fan fiction and whether or not somebody violated the rules of the grammar police as a fan fiction author. There's a lot happening here, and it's all over the top and ridiculous. I can appreciate their sense of humor. I will say I have certainly seen better acting, and I feel bad for that. I play a lot of FMVs. I get it. The acting's always a little stiff, but you can always tell that these people are reading off their laptops and didn't just, like, they haven't learned any of their lines. That stresses me out a little bit because I keep feeling like I'm looking for where they're looking at because I can tell they're looking at their monitor. So that's kind of crummy. On one hand, you'd like to be like, they should have used better quality cameras, but on the other, they're also supposed to be just these internet lawyer personalities, right?
No.
And so it kind of makes sense that they just have a Logitech C920. with no filters or white balancing or anything. It kind of makes sense that it's not the best camera quality, although the judge has really nice camera quality. So again, that plays out and works, right? But it also kind of just makes everybody else's cameras more frustrating. Because then it swaps back and she's like, Good Always Wins is just sitting in the dark in her closet and you're like, ah, webcam! It's a bit much. But it is just supposed to be all over the top and silly and look kind of hastily thrown together. And it does a good job of it. I want to point out that these developers have a whole series of games related to a cat president.
Oh, God.
So they clearly have a niche that they are filling for the ridiculous game genre. I believe this is their first FMV. I didn't see any other FMVs when I was just doing like a quick scroll through their list. So I think they've done okay. And like I said, the only real thing that you could say is like, you know, maybe don't stare down your monitor quite so hard when you're reading your lines. And other than that, I had a good time. It was silly, and I just kind of rolled my eyes every time I had to explain it to David what I was playing.
Well, $7 on Internet Court, what do you say?
I'm I'm good with it. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. FMVs already get a lot of hate in the first place. But I think if you want to go into it just for the laughs and know what you're getting into, then it's a buy it.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Next up is Heal Console Edition, developed by Jesse McConan, published by Rattalaika Games, released April 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $6.99. Guide an old man through the dark and atmospheric world of Heal Console Edition in this abstract 2D puzzle adventure point-and-click game. Rising from your chair, you must find a way to exit the room, which quickly leads to a series of spatial logic challenges. Can you find solutions to each puzzle and thus advance the story? Paul, did you thus advance the story?
I did. I completed it.
Good job.
Story and achievements and all.
GG.
Beast. And it was relatively quick. I will say it was not as quick enough to qualify for the Steam speed run. And I was really concerned because I hadn't looked over the achievements and I was like, oh no, there's a speed run achievement on Steam. And I just kind of assumed it was going to be on Xbox too. And then I beat the game, and then I looked back at the achievements, and I was like, oh, there's no Steam, or there's no speedrun. And number one was like, did you get it? And I was like, hell no, I ain't get it. Because the speedrun is for beating the game in 22 minutes. Also, this dev has something with the number 22, because there's a puzzle with it. Again, it's on Steam. It's not on Xbox, thankfully. But there was an achievement for doing one of the puzzles in 22 seconds. Hmm. And so I don't know what the fascination with the number 22 was, but there it was. Thankfully, though, the speed achievements, they are not on the Xbox version. You can complete it just by doing the story. Story itself centers around a nameless older gentleman. I was jokingly calling him Grampy the whole time I was playing because we don't ever learn his name or anything. The premise is that he is struggling with his memories, and it's honestly, it's a really sad game. And I don't think anybody should be surprised by that if you find out that this is from the devs who did Distraint. This is the single dev who did Distraint, which was a horribly grim game. Was wonderful, but horribly grim. So it's pretty much in that same vein of sadness. The art style looks identical. If you had taken Distraint and like ramped that atmosphere up to a full proper illustrated world with a properly illustrated human-like non-pixel model for good old Grampy, then that's what you're looking at for Heal. It's actually really lovely. Like I said, it's gloomy and depressing, and it's kind of just what it's meant to be, right? But for the subject matter at hand, it is a really lovely design, and the art style is really impressive, and I really like it. A lot of texture, a lot of visual interest. It does a good job of pulling you to where the puzzles are in each level and making them kind of obvious. Now, in Distraint, there were puzzles, but they were, like, really obscure, and it was point-and-click type of puzzle solving. So it was, like, use this item here and combine these items to do this or whatever. Whereas Heal has that more Artifacts Mundi type of rotate the puzzle to rotate the wheels to make the puzzle to solve this section to unlock another section by the door where you'll then have to move some gears and line up constellations, and then you'll solve for the next one. It was really creative how they had set up these different levels. I think there were 7 in all. However, only 1 through 6 really have puzzles. 7 is kind of just a wrap-up chapter. You don't interact with as much in that one because it fills up the story. But 1 through 6 is where, you know, most of your puzzles are at. Of course, in the beginning, there aren't too many. There's maybe only about 3 to 4 puzzles that really fit together for each level. And then I think maybe chapter 4 and 5 might have had 6 to 8 puzzles tops. There's one, chapter 3 might be the one that has the most overall, honestly. But they all really tie together well, and they all look natural, and you can kind of just get the point that they're trying to get across with the types of puzzles that are there. But yeah, I really like it. I thought it was really well planned out, played well. Some of the controls are a little tough, and I imagine that is probably why they decided to skip the speedrunning achievements, is because the controls are a little jank. But it's not anything that you can't manage or overcome to get through it. I mean, I completed it and I did it. It still only took like maybe an hour, hour and a half tops.
It's not bad.
Well, no.
$7 on it. What do you say?
I give it a buy it. I really like this guy's games. I like Distraint. I like Distraint 2. Distraint 1 was better than Distraint 2, but I did like them both. And I really liked Teal. It was surprisingly emotional and really good.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, time to bring Dark Mika in here. There, Zaki. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm still alive, and that's good enough right now. Yeah,
it is. So you have a game to talk about, but before we get to that, there's one more game Cole has to talk about, but I feel like you should be here for it because it's a game that I'm pretty sure you're going to want to.
Oh?
Yes.
Am I going to be angry because she got it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you shit.
Uh-huh.
Next game to talk about is a preview of Spirit Swap, Lo-Fi Beats to Match 3-2, developed and published by Soft Not Weak LLC. It's releasing sometime in 2022, but it is now on Kickstarter through May 13th. Cast spells, be queer, and crash the biggest concert of the year. Spirit Swap is an action puzzle game set in a lush narrative-driven world of witchy demons. Cole, tell us about Spirit Swap and why you wanted to talk about this game.
I absolutely adore everything about Spirit Swap already. And all I have gotten to play is a one-level demo.
Oh, okay. I can deal with that then. Okay.
Yeah, that's all that's out there right now. It is just being kickstarted. They did reach their funding goal already, but now they're working on stretch goals.
Nice.
They made their goal in 35 hours, which was fantastic.
Nice.
So they've got a good long stretch to work on those stretch goals. And last I checked, I haven't checked it in a couple of hours, but the last I checked, they were only like 3,000 away from the first one already.
Ooh,
Jesus.
So.
I'll go look right now for you because I have actually had this thing up since a day or two ago when I heard about it.
I saw it came across my timeline on Tuesday, I think it was, while we were recording. Chris or Purnell or somebody was talking. I wasn't paying attention. And I was scrolling, scrolling Twitter, and it popped up, and I just immediately fell in love with it. You have romance options in it. That I know they were saying one of the stretch goals was to make more like Hades style romance options.
Yeah, that's at 100K.
Yeah, the characters are different varieties of queerness and there's body positivity. They're all different shapes and sizes and personality types. The art style is fantastic. Everything is bright and purple and bubbly and neon and cyan, and it's wonderful.
And all the characters are so adorable looking. Oh,
there's someone named Pookie. They win my heart.
So it's really just, it's just one of those that, like, the moment you go see it, you're like, I love you already. If that's your kind of game, you're there. Actual gameplay, like I said, there's only one level available in the demo right now, but it is a free demo, and you can play it to your little heart's content. And I have played it, like, every time I find myself with just 3 or 4 minutes, I'm like, oh, let me go play that. See if I can beat my score real quick.
Gameplay is Tetris Attack. Holy shit, I love it already.
Yeah, it basically is. Like, you just swap your... It's a match 3, and there's lo-fi beats and apparently in like the full game, there's major spell casting and all kinds more additional stuff. But as it currently is, you can just sit there and swap the little icons until your finger falls off. And I'm so happy about it.
And I want this to be on console so bad.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I don't know if that's one of their stretch goals or not. I haven't seen.
They only have two listed stretch goals. The rest are unlisted still.
Yeah, I assume that they'll unlock them as they go, and we'll just see where it ends up. But I'm so hopeful to see it be properly funded and get to take off, because I am excited for it.
Well, it is funded. It will be happening. There are, as we're recording this, 27 days to go. So there's plenty of time to get over there. We'll have a link to the Kickstarter in the description. You could hit that up and drop a few bucks and support that.
Want me to drop it in the chat real quick?
I got it.
Okay.
Cole, I expect that this is something you think people should keep an eye on?
Yes, please.
And I think I'm going to be the one reviewing it.
Get fucked.
I should point out, we did not get a code for this game. We did not get a press release for this game.
Nope.
We got nothing for this game. Cole just really, 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 really wanted to talk about it, so we're featuring it. And if the developers are listening to this, come on and chat with us.
Yeah.
Good shit. All right, Aki.
I just know Mo and Theo are just the cutest to me. I fucking love them. They're so cute.
All right. Well, Aki, you have a game to talk about. That is called another preview of Trial of Destiny, developed and published by Dark Lord Game, released April 7th on Steam Early Access for $16.99. Trial of Destiny is a unique mix of action RPG, deck building, roguelite, and bullet hells, where you play as Glenn, the hero from the different world, summoned to save Gaia from the destructions of the Destiny. Aki, tell us about your time with Trial of Destiny.
Okay, first I'm just going to point out this is super, super, super early in development still. I didn't even know the character's name, honestly, because it is never brought up. It might be brought up once, maybe, in the entire game. It's a pretty interesting take on rogue likes. God, I always get roguelite and roguelite confused.
Roguelite is elements of a roguelike. So 99% of the time, it's roguelite.
Okay, then it's roguelite, then, I think. You also have some deck building in it as well, but it does it in a very different way from anything I've ever seen before. I'll have to, you know, see if Cole agrees with that, since she's the one who plays these. But it's a hack and slash game. Real time hack and slash game. You play as Glenn, and you start off with some a main weapon, a side weapon, a magic ability, and the ability to dash. And you are supposed to save these people's worlds by fighting in an arena, I guess? Because it's all of them are arenas, so I don't know what exactly is going on in this world, because there's not really any story beyond, we need you to save us. And then there's only one way forward, and it's through these things that look like arenas, so that's the gist of the story right there. In these, you can attack, you can obviously dodge with the dash, which isn't very good for dodging, really, which is kind of sad, because that's clearly what it's meant to be. And in this, the deck building comes with every one of those four abilities has a number next to them, and every time you use one of them, whether you hit anything or not, that number goes down and a card gets flung off of your character somewhere in the arena. The arenas aren't very big, so it's easy to find them. And once you're out, you can't use that ability, but you can go around and collect the cards again and be able to use them again. I've never seen that happen in the game before. That was really interesting. As you play the levels, as you beat each little tiny arena, you can either get an upgrade, which allows you to have more of a specific type of card. And there's five of them. There's the four I mentioned. There's a special one that you can also collect maybe in a run, which is just an extra type of special magic. You can get gold, which I haven't found a purpose for at all. And you can get gems, which you keep after you inevitably die and die again. And you use those to buy new weapons and new magic, which, again, unlock cards. And each weapon and magic has its own amount of uses. Like, let's say a stabbing sword has, like, 7 attacks you can do before you've run out. And you can collect the cards, even if you've just, like, attacked once, you can go pick up that one card. If you attack all 7 times, you have to pick up 7 different cards to get it back to the top. But, you know, it might have 7, but another one that spins around in a circle might only have, like, 4. So each one has their different unique ways of attacking. I found my favorite one to be the void one, and you just literally, you just hold it, and then you release it, and it just spins around you really fast. So you can just walk into enemies and pretty much chainsaw them to death.
Nice.
Because I'm lazy. What can I say? It's the best ability.
You did say this is early in development. Access starts in early 2021. The plan is for it to release at the end of 2021. Looking at the early access page, it says the plan is for more bosses, more levels and enemies, an actual game ending, controller support, which sounds like it should be pretty important. Yeah, right now it is $16.99. What are your thoughts? Is this something that people should keep an eye on now, keep an eye on down the road, wishlist it? What do you think?
I really like the concept of the deck building that it has in this, because I've never seen that before. It's really cool. So I'd like to say to keep an eye on it at least later on, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. I've played this for hours. I have all the magic, all the weapons that you can. I still haven't been able to beat a boss. And I've only come across 2 different ones. And only one of them once. And then the other I've come across every other time. I've never been able to beat them. I've only gotten the boss down to half its life a single time. This game, and again, the dash isn't very useful right now. It doesn't work to really dodge, which is what it's clearly meant to do. So they still have a bunch of tweaking left to do. So this is more of a, right now anyways, an act of futility for you playing, because you're not going to beat the boss. It's just, it's not going to happen. So I think at least keep an eye on it for down the line, especially if you like roguelites, because this isn't a genre I particularly like, but the concept was interesting enough that I think people should keep an eye on it.
So wish list it, keep an eye on it, and follow development.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for you. We're going to let you get going. We got one more review to go with Jacob. So do you have any final words?
I'm going the fuck to bed.
All right. And finally, we are bringing in our quote unquote good friend, Jacob Garner. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm here. It's a am I allowed to say what day of the week is?
I get
week?
Matters. No one gives a shit.
Okay. It's Friday night. I saw Hercules for the first time, the Disney movie.
Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I just heard my kid jump out of bed. God damn it. So I just watched Hercules for the first time. A little disappointed my parents stopped taking my brother and I to see Disney films. We stopped seeing like the animated ones after Aladdin. But they took us to the Pixar movies, interestingly enough.
Mean you haven't seen Emperor's New Groove?
No, I've seen that. I saw it on video.
Good.
I haven't seen Hunchback of Notre Dame, Pocahontas. I haven't seen Treasure Planet yet. I don't know, like that weird, mid-90s to like 2010 is like, it's a pretty blank void for me. I didn't see a lot of those films. So,
well, you saw Hercules and Emperor's New Groove. Those are the two that matter.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I would have liked to have seen Atlantis as well. Like, I heard good things about it.
Is it not in the Vudu account?
It might be, but, kids, they get in the way. of everything.
Yeah, true. So. Hey, didn't get in the way of our gaming tonight because we got one more game to talk about.
Woo!
Yeah, look at that segue. You ready for this? Final game to talk about tonight is called Night Squad 2, developed and published by our friends at Chainsawsome Games, released April 14th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99. Night Squad 2 is a chaotic arcade multiplayer game for up to 8 players. Pick an eccentric knight and fight for glory with wacky weaponry. Triumph over your friends in a ridiculous amount of game modes, both locally and online. Jacob, tell us about your time with Night Squad 2.
Well, you and I played a bit of it online. I haven't really done any local co-op or local play, I guess you would say. So I've only done online play, and I'll be honest, this thing was a blast. pretty much, it's like a bunch of different modes that you can play as. Like, there's a King of the Hill mode, which is, I forget what it's called, but it's King of the Hill.
Yeah, they all have their own special names. There's, you know, the team deathmatch, their solo deathmatch. Right. They
like,
have
there's like a paint, like there's one where it's Splatoon.
Yeah, paint the floor.
Paint the floor, which was a lot of fun. And then there was another one where you have to like steal the knight's souls, and then like you drop them back off at your spawn point. And there was a couple other ones, but yeah, like, I mean, the game description says it's chaotic, which it is, but it's a ton of fun.
The cool thing I like is that they have all of these different game modes in there, and then you can choose whether you want to do them either solo, where it's one-on-one-on-one times eight.
Right.
You can do duos, where it's four teams of two, or you could do squads, where it's two teams of four.
Right.
Some of the games, obviously, you know, are going to be free-for-alls where you have to do single player. But for the most part, you know, all of these events, you can choose to do in a variety of ways. They have tons of modifiers. There's like 15 different knights that you could earn in the game. A handful are ready at the start. The rest you got to unlock on your own. Some of them are easy to get.
I think some are tied to achievements.
Yeah.
It seemed like it.
I earned a knight for getting.
I think you unlocked one as we were playing.
Yeah, that for the extermination, which was killing seven knights in a row.
Which you'd think would be pretty simple, but with as much of a chaotic mess as this game is, it's not. I think I got to six. I think at one point. But that's,
I know you got a four. I saw that pop up once. I don't know if you got higher or not. I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention.
I know I got to six, but
oh, you like, were that so seven close just kept
then. Me. I know.
Oh, that sucks.
But, and it's just, you just follow the game modes. Like each game lasts like what? Like 5 minutes, 4 minutes.
And you can change the timers. You can adjust how long it goes. I feel most of them were like 3 minutes.
Okay, I was really good.
Like 2-3 minutes seems like the perfect amount of time for these games,
right? Because it's pretty obvious. I mean, we weren't playing with other people online; it was just you and I. But you know, with the AI, it keeps the pace, but at the same time, it's not too overwhelming. But you know, the game ends before it's obviously going to be a complete landslide.
Yeah. I mean, there were some times that the computer was keeping it pretty competitive with us, too. Yeah,
paint the floor one, the computer definitely keeps up on that one.
Yeah, the Souls one, they kept it pretty close.
Oh, yeah, they did.
There were a couple of them. They took everything I enjoyed from the first game, and they just expounded on it. Is that the right word?
I'm an English major. You can invent words for all I give a shit. I'm pretty sure that works. I mean, hell, just create a new meaning. Who cares? But yeah, this was my, I didn't play the first Night Squad game. So this was my first foray into it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm going to be showing it to Jess later on, and see if she likes it. But, I definitely recommend this. It's a blast to play with friends. And thankfully, you know, in the time of sickness, you know, it's a good online game.
Oh, yeah. And the online is populated. I was playing online earlier, having a lot of fun with it. Easy to get into a game. Obviously better if you have a headset so you're talking with other people, but
sure.
I know a lot of people don't like doing that anymore.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, for $15, yeah, this is set. Like, this was pretty great. I really enjoyed it.
All right, so $14.99, your official verdict on Night Squad 2 is?
I just said it. I even said the price.
No, but I have to do my spiel.
Oh. Well, for $14.99, I mean, that's a cent less than what I quoted it at. So, I mean, that's even more of a bargain, really. So, I was already singing high praises, but to get it for a penny less? Well, good sir, I know a good bargain when I see it.
You're an asshole.
So I highly recommend it.
You're an asshole.
God bless Rocky, wherever he is.
Oh, man. But yeah, Night Squad 2. Good shit. Chainsaw Some Games is doing some really good stuff. The online sells it for me. The fact that I could play anytime with anyone, it just, I love it.
You know, I'll be honest, going back to the game, because I know I already said, like, yeah, go ahead and buy it, but, you know, who knows, whatever. I'll give it this. I was surprised with how smooth it was. Online play.
No jerkiness, no lag spikes, nothing.
Nothing. Like it was smooth like butter. Like, it was fantastic, and it was a great online multiplayer experience. So
yeah,
and, that's what you're looking for right
and
now.
And I'm playing as a fish in a suit of armor.
Oh yeah, your salmon guy.
Yeah,
I saw that. My guy just hits himself in the head.
Yeah. So you got to unlock the salmon. That's an easy one.
I'll get there.
I'm telling you, it's an easy one. It's the Konami code on the main menu.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
well, that's handy.
It even tells you in the night listing. It tells you how you can earn them. I know the one, I still have like 800 more kills I have to get. Takes 1,000 kills to unlock one of the knights. Each of the knights also has a special sword that you can unlock. You have to get 1,000 kills with that knight to unlock the sword.
Okay, so there's plenty of playthrough with it.
Oh god, there's so much longevity to this game.
Yeah, that's nice.
Good shit.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Cole, how are you doing? No, she's not here. Kidnapped by ninjas. Kidnapped by ninjas. I just got the ransom note. Son of a bitch.
Well, I'm not paying for that.
Me neither. I don't know what they're looking for anymore.
They could keep her.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll be back next episode. Jacob, what?
I was going to give, I just remembered, I planned on giving an update. On that Steven Universe Unleashed the Light game.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually just did a big update to it, which launched, I believe, yesterday. So there's now a black hole area that you can go into, which is like an infinitely populated area where you can just keep fighting light constructs. But they just, for fans of the show, like, this will actually matter. They just added Connie and Leo as playable characters. And at first, like, when they announced it, I was just like, oh, okay, so I can play Connie or Leo. They actually come together, and it's really cool. Connie has this like sword stabbing thing. Like, she hops off Lion, or did I call him Leo? I think I did. That's weird. All right, so Connie and Lion. So Connie can hop off of Lion and like stab somebody. Lion does this dash move, which gets everybody in a row, like hits everybody in a single row. But then there's also a teleportation move that Lion can do, which moves an enemy into a row. So then you can just line up all the enemies into this like single row and then do a Lion and then do the dash to hit them all. And it's a fantastic party. Like, they're just a fantastic addition to the party. So if you bought the game, which I highly recommend that you do, or if you've already played it, you know, 100% of it, I recommend going back in there and checking them out. It's a free update, and it's a fantastic addition to the game. Nice. So
it's a good week for free updates with the Blizzard Collection and now this.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the Blizzard Collection update?
I skimmed a headline about it, but
well, if you were here for the news earlier, you would have heard that the Lost Vikings 2 and RPM Racing were added to the Blizzard Arcade Collection in a free update.
Is that something on Xbox?
Yes.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's the Lost Vikings, Lost Vikings 2, Blackthorn, Rock and Roll Racing, and RPM Racing. For
is it called Blizzard?
Blizzard Arcade Collection. Even though none of them were arcade games.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. But anyway, that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Big thanks to Aki for coming on, doing her review. Thanks to Cole for being here. Doing her thing.
It was $20.
Is it 20? I thought it was 15.
It's 20. I'm looking at it right now.
Shit, I thought it was 15. My bad. Still worth
now
it.
Now I'm definitely not going to get it. wait, they said choose edition? What the? There's a 30-year celebration pack for $30. What does that mean? It's a limited-time bundle.
It's just like some bonus stuff that you get in Diablo and Overwatch and like that.
Weird. Okay.
I bought that one. So.
Of course you did. You're a whore.
Yeah, and big thanks to Kurt, Mark, and Jim at Wide Right Interactive for coming on and chatting with us about What the Dub. And that game is available now on all platforms for $8, so pick that shit up. Music. We got some music coming up. I don't know what the fuck I'm playing. We're playing something. Do you have any final words to end the show?
Farfid Nugan.
Are you Aki now?
What?
That's all she says for her final words.
Oh, seriously? Oh, no.
Okay. I'm pretty sure she said that before you joined.
Oh. Huh. That's pretty cool. No, I was actually just thinking of old David Letterman top 10 list. Okay, so I'm going to go with Schwepper Vessens.